What is up, guys? Welcome back to the Zach and Pat Show. I'm Zach.
I'm Pat.
This is the show about manhood, fatherhood, entrepreneurship, and the mentality it takes to be successful at those things. And we'll probably sprinkle in some helpful real estate advice, too, because that's what Pat and I do. You know, guys, life can be tough. You can go through some things and struggle at times. But this is the show to let you know that you're not alone. So if you're someone out there going through these things, this is the show for you. Shout out to our friends at NeuroGum for keeping us energized and focused throughout the show. NeuroGum is a chewing gum with natural caffeine balanced with L-theanine and infused with B vitamins. It helps with energy, focus, memory recall. I like to chew it when I'm, you know, doing a CrossFit workout, while I'm driving around showing houses, just if I need a quick boost in the, you know, in the later afternoon, but I don't want to get like a full energy drink. It's got about 40 milligrams of caffeine, you know, like half cup of coffee. Great. Picks me up. I really genuinely use this stuff all the time. So I really, really do like it. So get some NeuroGum, check it out.
Yep. Also want to shout out to people over at Fit Flavors. From now until the end of this month, end of May, using the promo code podcast50 will get you 50% off an online gift card. I went on, got a $1,000 gift card for $500. Still got money on there. Like, love their stuff, love their food. And I eat it daily. So it's really helped me track my macros. It's all fresh. I mean, usually you want to go in and buy maybe 3 to 5 days worth because it's so fresh. That's about how long it'll last. Mm-hmm. So
actually, me and Gina were just talking. I'm going to run up there this afternoon after my open house and go pick up a week's worth of meals because we're out.
There you go.
Finished them off yesterday. So we're, you know, whenever we run out, we're like, oh shit. Cause it's all like right. Pretty much all we eat these days. Yeah. So, Fit Flavors is great. Shout out to them. Use promo code podcast50. Dude,
How you been, man?
It's been a week and a half since we've been in here, at least.
Yeah, and it's been a wild week and a half.
Yeah, let's hear about it.
I mean, I don't even know what I had. I mean, it was something that caused me to have headaches, big cough, runny nose, all the shit. I thought it was allergies from like cutting the grass after like all this pollen has fallen, mm-hmm. and just getting plastered with pollen. But who knows? I mean, I've been coughing nonstop. There was 2 days, but they weren't back to back. They weren't consecutive. It was like two random days where I had terrible headaches. Like I spent 20 of the 24 hours in bed, just getting up enough to do something for a client or get a pre-approval done from last minute out of state people.
Hey, we got them under contract.
Got
them under contract.
Congratulations, guys.
Yeah. Congrats.
Real estate doesn't sleep and they don't give a shit if you're sick or not. So
they don't give me that fucking pre-approval, bitch.
Right, they weren't the only ones. Shit. I had a client that was like, I got an email at 3:40 and at this moment I was sleeping. And another one at 9:30 saying, never mind, I'm going to get a new loan officer after I've been working.
Wait, from how long? From 3:30?
3:30 to 9:30. Yeah. I woke up in drenched in sweat at like 9:15 ish at night and was going to take a shower, got in, took a 15 minute long hot shower, get out to this email. And I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? And the agent knew I was sick. I have another deal going on with her. And she's like, yeah, I told him. She's like, but she says she's been texting you since Saturday. And I was like, I have zero fucking text messages from this lady. And the first email I get was at 3:40 this afternoon. So, woke up to that, got done with the shower, collected myself, sent her a text message. Anyway, the agent's like, well, she doesn't want to start things over with somebody else. You know, she threatened you with a new lender. I was like, can you get the numbers worked up for these two houses? I'm like, yeah, sure. So get them worked up. Eventually, I sent them over and I just shoot her a text. Hey, numbers are updated. And then she texts back saying thanks. I was like, oh, wow, that one went through.
Wow. That's funny.
So treat your loan officers with some respect.
Well, it's just that is the one thing in this industry, man, because it's like if we're sick or something's going on, it's like, for example, yesterday, like I was busy all day and we can kind of get into that. But like I couldn't couldn't show, you know, these houses. So I gotta find someone that can replace, you know, right. can go show them for me. And it's just like, you know, it's just it's a stressful thing. If you're out of commission, your whole business kind of shuts down. Or, I mean, at least for me, and I need to get, you know, kind of the systems in place and really kind of fix that, because, you know, we got a new baby coming here in 5 weeks and, you know, right. things are about to be crazy.
Yeah. So, well, yeah. And that's the thing. I mean, normally, I could lean a little bit more on my team, but my business partner, for being number two producer in the entire company,
yeah,
they were on their chairman's club trip down to Cabo San Lucas. So they were
out there just having a good time.
Yeah, just enjoying fucking the beach and all the awesomeness of Cabo while I'm holed up in my room, dying.
Sweating.
And feeling like I'm dying. And so my team's already handling all of his stuff. And now I'm like, I can't throw my shit on top of him either. So, right. yeah. So I was working every single day. It was just a miserable, miserable time. And I apologize to anybody I talked to that might have seemed I was short. I mean, I was trying to be, because I could only keep my head up for so long.
Yeah.
So
exhibit A.
Yeah. Exhibit A. Yeah. Still got reminiscences of a cough. So. But other than that, I mean, not able to get to the gym. So yeah. I just feel super weak. Plus I've lost a lot of weight. Yeah. You know, I'm down below 260 now.
Yeah.
So that was cool.
Yeah. Then you start eating like normal. Right, bro.
I mean, I was on a diet I've always drank about a gallon of water a day. Up that a little bit more, because I just felt so dehydrated. Then
Were you throwing up and stuff?
I didn't throw up. That's the thing, is like, I didn't throw up at all.
Okay.
Just had like, the headaches were so bad that I thought I was, like, the 2 days that I had the headaches, they were so bad that I thought I was going to throw up, but I didn't. But that's the thing, is like, I wasn't eating that much food. So, like, my diet was literally, it was about a gallon and a quarter of water. I would have one shaker of Opti Greens mixed with Opti Reds.
Yeah.
And then three bottles of electrolytes. Let me tell you, I peed so much. I was peeing so much.
Just basically a liquid diet.
Yeah, pretty much. And then chicken noodle soup. Yeah. Yeah. So Chick-fil-A has some damn good chicken noodle soup.
Man, I've never had
thank it. God for DoorDash, because like, I wasn't going anywhere.
No.
So
now how does that work with the boys? Like, when,
well, luckily
Melissa just like,
yeah. So it started a week ago Friday, and I had them that weekend. Luckily the first couple of days it wasn't really anything. And then when I dropped them off to her Sunday was when I really started to feel it. So like, the bad days were Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and half of Wednesday. Half of Wednesday. And then Thursday I kind of felt normal and pushed it and went to a closing and had a networking thing that I went to. And then Friday I was like, nope, that was stupid. Felt like shit all day Friday. And so, yeah, I mean, so luckily Melissa had the boys Sunday night, Monday, Tuesday. I picked them up from school on Wednesday. So by the time I picked them up from school on Wednesday, I was starting to feel good. So I had them Wednesday night feeling good. Thursday felt great. Dropped them back off to Melissa on Friday. And yeah, then down.
Here we are.
Yeah. So yeah, feeling much better now. I mean, yeah.
Getting sick sucks, man.
Yeah, it's no fun.
No fun for anybody.
No. How about you?
Dude, been a crazy week. You know, we got a new buyer under contract. I got two more listings. Like, our flip hits the market this week. Been grinding with that. I'm just ready for that to be done.
Yeah.
That's kind of just been some last minute headaches that have come along with that. Just waiting for contractors to get things done. And but looks like we're gonna be pretty much ready to go by the end of this week. I mean, we had photos and videos done. I'm excited to see Matt's. We're gonna do a cool listing video. I don't know if you guys saw my one where I got hit by the car.
That was cool.
Yeah, we're doing something similar to this on this next one, and then he's gonna do a cool. I had him come by and do videos before we did the construction, and then he's gonna do a cool before and after video, which will be really, really cool. So I got that, and I got two more listings, which is great. this past week too. So I mean, they just keep kind of coming in, and I mean, out of nowhere, can't complain.
No,
so I'll take those all day. So that's been cool. Yesterday I had a really fun day. So my buddy Brett, he puts a wiffle ball tournament on every year. You know, you basically, you know, donate money and, you know, goes to a charity, which I don't even know what charity it goes to.
Brett that was on the show last?
No, different Brett. Brett Weber, he's a buddy of mine from grade school. He's an attorney. Really, really good guy. One of my best friends. They put on a wiffle ball tournament this is the second or third year they've done it, because I wasn't there last year. But that's just something me and all my buddies always do. We always play wiffle ball. It was a blast. There was 24 guys there, so we had 8 teams of 3. My team actually made it all the way to the finals, which was sick. I am not very good at baseball and wiffle ball or anything like that. I mean, I can hit decent. With the rule set that we do 3-inning games, and everybody's got to pitch at least 1 inning. So gotcha. I suck ass at pitching. So I pretty much just like lob it in there and just try to make it hittable so we can put it in play. I'm not very good, but I got matched with like 2 of the best guys there. So, you know, cause we just pull names out of a hat to pick the teams. And, I got matched with like a dude who won state, as a pitcher at CBC when he was in high school. And then my other,
who's
buddy,
that?
Patrick Berry.
Oh.
He's 2 years younger than me.
Okay.
So, you know, he's quite a bit younger than you than I, and then my other buddy, Timmy, he's just a really, really good athlete. He's going to fucking love that I said that on live on here. He's just a really, really good athlete. And we had a really good team, and it was a lot of fun. And then of course, so the finals was a 3-game series. We lost the first game, and then the second game, you know, like I said, they're 3-inning games. It went into 10 innings.
Oh, wow.
Cause we just couldn't, you know, they couldn't score on us. We couldn't score on them. We blew a fucking 7-4 lead in the third inning. It was fucking all. We were like, oh no,
that's rough.
And then we went.
I've been there.
Yeah, I'm sure. And then we went 7 innings straight without a score.
Yeah.
And it was just like, fuck. And then, you know, at about the 6th or 7th inning, it just started fucking downpouring, and we just played through it. So we're like out there in the pouring rain, lightning going on, swinging a wiffle ball bat around, you know, and like everybody else is like under like an awning, just pounding keg beer. It was a fun day. And then right after it, I guess we can get into that. I had a turnover yesterday at my midterm rental, which was, you know, this guy, he was basically, you know, I had a 3-week get or like a 3.5-week gap in between guests. And this guy asked me if he could rent it for that time. And I was like, okay, you know, that'd be great. You know, cause I'm looking at the money that would come in. I'm like, oh, that's a whole like month's worth of expenses. Hell yeah, we'll take it. And, seemed like a nice enough guy. You know, they rented the place for 3 weeks, and, you know, yesterday I went in and he was asking for his deposit right away. And, I mean, he moved out, and an hour later he's already, you know, he's expecting me to pay him his deposit. I'm like, well, I got to go look at the place, make sure you didn't fuck anything up. And, of course I go in there after the day of wiffle ball, cause he keeps texting me about his deposit. So I go in there and the place is just fucking trashed. These dudes just look like they, you know, live in a, like they treated it like a college dorm, just beer cans, pizza boxes, fucking, you know, I find some drugs, you know, a plate with coke residue and a little straw with lipstick, and you know, it's just like
amazing the disrespect people have for things.
And like, then, you know, they broke my futon. And then on top of this, not this guy's fault, but we had a bunch of water in the basement because it's been doing nothing but storm here. So now I'm kind of dealing with that. And me and my buddy went over there last night. Thank God for my buddy Nick Curran. I know you listen to the show. Thank you, Nick. He went over. We were just basically helping me address the water situation with some sandbags, and we tore up all the carpet in the basement last night, and I got to figure out. But then the shitty part is I've got a new lady moving in there tomorrow, and I got to like figure out what we're going to do. And you know, it's just going to be a whole thing. So I got a fun day ahead of me with that. Yeah. So, but other than that, man, everything else is great. Can't complain at all. Got, you know, work's busy. Family's great. Just got a, you know, 5 weeks away from new baby. So that's crazy. You know,
the countdown begins.
Yeah. C-section from scheduled. It was 5 weeks from Thursday. So we're almost there.
That's awesome.
So Yeah, man. But yeah, today we were going to kind of recap our book for this month. And the book for this month was The Book on Mental Toughness by Andy Frisella. And yeah, so this was, you know, if you've read the 75 Hard book, which came out a couple years ago, that is like a significant portion of this book is the like 75 Hard book, kind of like in the middle of it, right? You know, right. There's some stuff in the beginning that was new, and then he put the 75 Hard book in and then put some stuff on the end is kind of how I took it, right?
Yeah, I mean, basically expanded on the Live Hard program that he didn't quite touch on in 75 Hard. Like 75 Hard just Hard.
Right? Isn't that right, Murph?
Yes, the 75 Hard book is both an explanation of the 75-day or the boot camp, as he calls it, portion. But it also, the thing that like these books both do very, very well is they give you primarily in the 75 Hard book, it gives you a great example of like what mental toughness can bring you.
Right.
But the expansion part is definitely the biggest part of the book on mental toughness. Instead of talking about like Andy's successes, like the fact that it's a foreword by Tim Grover, I think, is very cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
Super cool.
But when he starts getting into the different accounts of people who exhibit different strengths of mental toughness, like it's kind of like the macro of everything, if you ask me.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, if you haven't read 75 Hard, it's going out of print, right, Murph? Mm-hmm. So this is the new book on 75 Hard, which is great because if you haven't read it, this book is awesome for you. Having read the book 75 Hard, having followed Andy from the early days of the MS CEO project to where we are now, you know, a lot of the stuff in the book we've heard and seen from him mm-hmm. already.
Sure.
So, you know, I breezed like the first part of the book, like we said, is new. Mm-hmm. And so I read that and the rest of it just kind of skimmed through because it was all stuff that I already knew and have read and have heard. Obviously, the last part of it, once you get past 75 Hard, it starts going over the whole Live Hard program from start to finish. And for anybody that is trying to develop mental toughness, like reading this book is not going to help you it's not going to help you have mental toughness. It just teaches you the program to help build mental toughness, which is the Live Hard program, which includes 75 Hard. So, and it gives you a pathway on how to get started and how to do that and tips and tricks on how to get through it. And I mean, I guess there's no tricks. It's just tips because you just got to put the fucking
gotta
work.
Do it.
You got to do it.
Yeah,
so
I mean, you just got to put, you know, there's the list of the critical tasks and you just do them. I mean, and it's going to help build that mental toughness. Yeah, I mean, I enjoyed the book, but like you said, if you've read 75 Hard, if you've been following Andy for as long as you and I have, and, you know, listen to the old MFCEO episodes, and, you know, I mean, how long, when did those come out? What, 2016?
I think the first round was in 2015.
So, I mean.
They're bringing it back, right?
Yeah,
that'll be sweet. Yeah. Yeah, because, I mean, that's originally, honestly, that's kind of like how I got into First Form, and I mean, I'm sure I'm kind of preaching to the choir. There's a lot of people that probably, you know, got more into First Form when they started listening to the podcast and kind of found out what it was all about. You know, I mean, that was just a kind of a way to, you know, kind of spread the message of First Form and what, you know, kind of what they're all about.
And that's the thing is like my favorite episode is kind of what brought about the 75 Hard program was the one with James Lawrence. After he just did his 50 Ironmans in 50 days in 50 states, he came on and it was like, 3 months later, Andy had this program all worked up.
Yeah, and I think he talks about it that was one of the, you know, wasn't James Lawrence one of the reasons?
Yeah, and I mean, that's what all the examples are supposed to do. And in a lot of cases, like building mental toughness, it is all the points that he makes. But I think what he really tried to translate with that point, like with introducing us to James Lawrence in the first place, is like, this can be the product of these different aspects that I'm here to teach you. How you use them is up to you. And I mean, I've met that guy. One of the most friendly, humble dudes ever. But then he did 101 of them a couple years later.
That's nuts. Yeah.
It's fucking disgusting, dude.
101 days. He was like going to do 100. And he's like, and this just shows how mentally tough he is. He's just like.
We're seeing pictures of his feet.
Oh, yeah. Like, I mean, I followed along with it every single day. He put all that stuff on his Instagram story and things like that. And that's in Utah in the high altitude and all that. And. started it in on January 1st, I think.
It was at the beginning of the year. It was in the first quarter. I think he came and talked to us like end of February, because right before he began it, he came and spoke to us and told us his whole story. And he had his daughter there, and it was super cool. And then he's like, all right, guys, we're going to do Conquer 100. It basically starts the first day of March for 100 days straight. You just pick something to commit to. He goes, because I'm doing this. And I chose to run a distance of at least a 5K every day.
For the, like, for your personal Conquer 100?
Yep, for 100. And then we ended up doing it for another day because we had a team workout the day after I completed Run 100. And ended up being running 5K.
I mean, yeah, it's cool to like to see some of those stories. But having followed along, you've heard that we could have heard stories live on the podcast. So, yeah, all in all, I mean, it was a good book. I mean, I guess for me, just because I've read 75 Hard and all that, it was just kind of a repeat for me of that.
What if you put yourself in the perspective of like someone who's reading it for the first time or who hasn't been exposed to the podcast?
Oh, then I think it's fantastic. It's a great read. Yeah, I totally think would recommend it to anybody that's looking to build mental toughness. Because yeah. I think anybody can do 75 Hard. You know, it's not even people with physical limitations. I think that I'm sure there's a laundry list of people out there that, have disabilities or have, something that makes their life more difficult, and they've completed this program.
There was a woman who worked at First Form, who she completed Live Hard while pregnant. She did most of it while pregnant.
Gina did. Yeah. Gina did 75 Hard while she was pregnant.
But those are great examples of people who are relatable to you as well. Yeah. And I think we all have like an idea of like what we want mental toughness to be. I think a lot of people think mental toughness is like suffering. And I've definitely been one of those people. When I was a kid, I always thought the word discipline meant like punishment. And it's just the fact, like Jock always says, it's the main thing that gets you to where you want to be. Like when I look at your lives, especially, like you're very disciplined, mentally tough people, and you still have your sense of humor, which is so great. But like, think about everything you've had to do in like the last 24 hours. You had a really good day yesterday. You had a really fun day yesterday, but then you had to handle business.
Yeah.
Thankfully you had some help.
Like half drunk.
Yeah. But to me, that's what mental toughness is. I'd be honest, like if you're more mentally tough than me, I'd have fucking gone home, but I'm dealing with this shit tomorrow. I don't give a fuck.
I mean, you do it. I mean, like how many times have you texted us like, man, I feel like fucking shit. I got a bad headache and all this, but you power through and you get everything done for us.
I at least communicate. That's the thing I'm disciplined to. And right,
but even still, like it takes mental toughness to battle through a fucking headache to get all this stuff worked up. I mean, that's part of that's mental toughness. That's the thing. Like, for me, this past week, the last thing I wanted to do was work, because I felt like fucking dog shit, and I could have very easily just put it off on my team, but I knew that I couldn't do that because my business partner was gone. Like that, it took mental toughness to push through that. Like everybody has the chance to show mental toughness. It just depends on whether or not you want to take that opportunity to do it. And the ones that are successful and the ones that I've seen be very successful, the ones that when the opportunity presents itself, they stand right in front of that challenge and say, well, I got this, motherfucker. So fucking David Goggins style.
Yeah.
Get rid of the bitch voice,
Yeah. I love the bitch voice and boss voice. That's a whole, Andy talks about that. Rogan talks about that. Rogan calls it your inner bitch. Yeah. Andy calls it your bitch voice. Yeah. Like it's the same thing. And, I love that because we all fucking have it. Yeah. Every single person has that voice in their head that when things get hard, you make these excuses that, oh, you don't need to do that. You've had such a hard week. You've already done that. You've been sick. You don't need to, you know what, Pat, you should probably take next week off and recover. You just took a whole week off from the gym and you lost all this weight. You should probably just take another week off. Your body probably needs it.
Fuck that.
And it's like,
please don't speak in that tone of voice ever.
No, that's the bitch voice.
I know. Hearing you say things like that.
It's like, you have God and the devil characters on your shoulder. It's not God and the devil. It's the bitch and the
boss. And the boss. You got that little weak, frail, person, whatever it is over here, and you got the fucking Jack dude who's super successful over here.
Right.
Jack tan and rich as fuck. Yes. Is what Andy always says.
Yeah. Jack tan and rich as fuck.
Oh yeah.
Wimpy, weak and poor.
that's true.
When I think of like mentally tough people, like I could talk about Andy all day because I could talk about him. I could talk about Sal, but like me and Mark were talking about this the other day. as far as mental toughness goes and keeping it like in our peer group, there's no one more mentally tough than Will Grumke.
Yeah.
Will Grumke is that fucking guy. Hey, Will, have you ever listened to this? You're him. Just so you know.
I would love to get him on.
I mean, fucking.
Yeah, he'd be a great guest.
There is nary a person who I have so little in common. me and Will talked about this like my first year there, right before we moved into new HQ. And I told, because this was back when I was just super unpassionate about everything that I was doing, my fitness and being a part of First Form, proving myself that I deserve a salary job. And I did everything I could to like put myself next to that fucking guy. And just the aura that comes off this dude of just a person who's a very good-hearted person, but fucking gets shit done. It's no small feat. And like when you hear just some of the things that he's pulled off and you see where his life's headed, like the dude's gonna be Jack Tan, rich as fuck. It's gonna be Will Grumke. Just fucking, my hat is off to you, dude. Like, and the thing I credit him for more than anything else is that he hates when people say he's built different. I'm not gonna do the impression on the show. Should I do the impression?
Dude, you do a great Will Grumke impression, I have to say. It's pretty good.
I'm not gonna do it.
I mean, I've spent a good amount of time.
I was a little fat kid. He talks about that. He goes, I was a kid who was really out of shape.
Mm-hmm.
I had no confidence doing fucking anything. Then I decided to change all that.
Bro, I relate to that so much. You talk to any of my buddies I spent all day with yesterday, and they will tell you, if you look at me now, where I'm at with like my life and, you know, my body and everything, and you look at me when I was 14 years old, I was never an athlete. I was always like, I was just the kind of chubby, funny guy that hung out with like all the good athletes. Like I was there to make all my friends laugh.
Yep.
And that was me. And I was just the silly goofball that, you know, kind of we the center of the jokes a lot of times. And, you know, but then something happened, I guess, when I started, it was really wrestling. It changed everything for me. It was football and wrestling kind of, because it was around the same time, but that's when I started getting into working out and then kind of started hanging out with people and just getting into better shape. But wrestling was really what put me in like a different like mindset.
You can't be wrestling and not be mentally tough.
Yeah. It's you know, it's about as hard as it gets. It sucks.
I mean, for kids to throw each other around like that, like fuck, man.
Well, it takes your discipline to a whole nother level when you got to start worrying about your weight. It's the only like sport that it's still the only sport that I can think of where, you know, you have all this extra homework when you go home that you have to worry about your weight, man. Cause there were so many times where, you know, I looked at my frame and I was like, well, I weigh 170 pounds or I'd be up like 180 playing football. And I look at what those 180, you know, what weight class I would be in. I looked how like tall and jacked those dudes were. And I was like, well, I look nothing like them. So I need to slim down to 140. If I really want to be competitive. And, you know, so wrestling practice for 2 hours, come home, run for another hour and a half. You know, like that was
half.
Dude, that was regular for me. I would do that. Run laps around my neighborhood.
Dude, would you count the miles at all?
I just ran laps.
Just for an hour and a half. You're nearing a fucking half marathon.
Probably close. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I wouldn't say I did an hour and a half every night, but there was many times where I'd come home and run for at least 45 minutes to an hour.
Okay.
But there was many times it was an hour and a half, for sure. It depends on how much weight I had to lose. I just ran until the number on the scale said what it needed to say.
Jesus.
Yeah. Like that's what it, you know, that's what you did in wrestling, and it's fucking awful. But it taught you that, because I think I've talked about it on here before, but like you have your spot on the team. You know, I have the 145-pound weight class slot. I've earned that spot. I've wrestled off against other people on my team. I earned that spot. But now it's up to my response. It's my responsibility to make that weight. And if I don't make that weight, we don't have a you know, a guy wrestling at that weight class, and we automatically forfeit that match. So like if I don't make weight, I'm disappointing my coach. I'm disappointing my team. So like that was a whole nother level of discipline I had to learn. And I feel like that taught me so much, and that like changed me mentally for sure. And, you know, that's when I really got into fitness and working out and caring about how I looked. And that also came with more confidence with girls and, you know, other stuff back in high school. I'm a married man now, Gina. It's just been a long journey. I've come a long way. If I look back at, you know, the chubby kid that I was when I was, you know, grade school.
Yeah. I was the same way. It was always husky is what they call
husky.
It.
Husky. I was a husky kid.
I wore
too.
The husky clothes.
So did I.
Husky clothes. I don't know if that's just a nice way of saying fat or big boned or whatever you want to call it.
Nice way of saying chubby.
Yeah, yeah. I was in the husky clothes. It was. I guess it was probably middle school when, like I said, when I started reading that book, The Mental Game of Baseball, where I really started to learn like mental toughness for that specific sport. I don't think it translated into overall life until probably my end of my sophomore year, going into my junior year, because I was still like soft as a person in terms of like taking care of myself and putting in the work that I needed to get better and stronger. Like I knew what I needed to do to stay mentally strong throughout, like during a game, the things that like that I wouldn't let bother me, but they had like the discipline outside of it. Like you said, the homework afterwards, like it was going into my junior year. I was after my sophomore year, that sophomore summer, I hurt my lower back and was really struggling. And I just remember Lance, he was like, because you're a fat fuck. I was like, your back hurts because you have no stomach muscles. He's like, get your fat ass in shape. And I mean, most kids would have cried. And but I was like, I took it and I was like, yeah, man, he's fucking right. I'm
God damn it.
Fucking Jack in the Box, motherfuckers.
Yeah.
You know, buttermilk.
Yeah. Those Friday nights in Oakville at
right there at Baumgartner or what's it?
Jack in the Box right there. Over by Deerberg's, whatever. Yeah. That was the spot to be.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Fucking
best dollar menu in the game.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Fucking
two tacos for 99 cents. You kidding me?
That wasn't like $1.29.
Probably.
Eight tacos and two plain chicken sandwiches. Like, that was
that was the order.
Yep.
And you want a balloon up to 240. That's how you do it.
You just spent a whole $8.
Yeah, exactly.
Bro.
Bro. You still have more, and you still have money for beer. Like, that's the problem.
Man. That $8 would stretch, dog.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I'm over here sitting really reminiscent because I was a fat kid.
Oh, yeah. But I just would crush Jack in the Box. And then, like I said, I hurt my lower back, and Lance got on me for being fat. And that changed. I went from being like, I was like 225, 230 down. I graduated and I was 190.
Damn.
Yeah. Could you imagine me at 190?
Bro, you'd be shredded.
I was fucking. I looked like a twig.
You'd be like scrawny at 190.
I was like 6.
I'm 10 pounds away from being 190.
I'm like 6'1". I was like 6'1 when I graduated.
And you're what, 6'3"?
6'3 now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was like 6'1 when I graduated high school at 190 pounds. And I that's the thing too, because like when my college coach saw me pitch, he saw me pitch that summer of my sophomore year. And I was hurt, but I was, like I said, like at that point, I was around 220, 225. And, you know, when he saw me, I mean, he had seen me since then, but I had been on the process of losing weight. And he was like, well, the next time I saw him, I think it was like 210 or 215. He's like, oh, you look great. You're bad. You know, your velo's picking up and all this. And I'm like, yeah, you know, like, she's like, oh, awesome. Stay here. Keep pushing it. Keep getting stronger. Like, great. So I did, but I also kept running and I got down to 190, but my fastball my velocity kept going up and up and up. So like I threw harder at a lighter weight, but then when he saw me again after that and I was down at like 190, he's like, nah, you're too skinny now. You got to get back. I'm like, gee, I'm like, my fastball's like, I'm topping out at 95 right now. And he's like, yeah, just think how hard you'd throw if you were back up at 215.
Jesus.
So I was like, yeah, that makes sense, I guess.
Well, but, and like, I think we've talked about in here before, I mean, there's got to be some muscular endurance, you know, factors there.
Absolutely.
Bro, you're going to laugh when I say this, but I mean, I probably pitched 6 or 7 innings yesterday my arm is fucking sore today.
Well, see, but that's the thing is like with our arms and the arm care stuff that we did, I mean, it was all lightweight. I don't think I ever did more than 5 pounds with my shoulders. It was a lot of, like, they call them Joe bands. And then 5 pound weights was the max.
Yeah, that makes
sense. I never had a single arm problem ever. Like, that was never an issue. And I was like, that was a thing. And that's why I eventually became a reliever, because, like, I had like a rubber arm. Like, I could come back day after day after day and be fine. Like, I mean, there was one stretch. In 2012, we were coming down towards the end of the first half of the season, And we, so the way the playoffs works, if you win the first half of the season, you're automatically in playoffs at the end of the year. And so we were, I don't know, I think we had like 6 or 7 games left in the first half, and we were neck and neck with this other team. And in the last six, well, I got shut down for the last 2 games because we ended up clinching, but in those 7 games, so in the 5 games before they shut me down, before the All-Star break, in those 5 games, I threw 3 innings, day off, 3 innings, and then came back the very next day and threw another 3 innings.
Damn.
So 4 days. So I got, and they gave me 3 days. Was it 3 days off heading into the All-Star break? Because we had 3 days off, so I got like a full week off. So in 4 days, I threw 9 innings.
Yeah.
And that, but that was the thing, though. It was like, I always did a really good job of taking care of my arm. I was always running and flushing, like getting everything, like all the bad juices and whatever out of you, flushing it out. But I remember, man, my body after that last outing, I mean, I was fucking rocked after that. Cause I remember we're like, and we clinched, we all went to this bar, this country bar that had a mechanical bull, and we're like, yeah. And they're like, oh, we got to ride the bull. Doyle, you got the win. You got to ride the bull. And I was like, all right, I'm going to try and ride the bull. And I get up there and I couldn't squeeze my legs. I had zero strength in my legs anymore. And they turned that bowl on. As soon as they turned that bowl on, I just went, popped right
over.
There's no,
so disappointing.
I was like, oh my God, this is going to be great. I'm going to be able to do this. And then I realized I had zero leg strength to grip, like squeeze into the bowl.
Hold onto the bowl.
Yeah. And I was like, well, try this again another day.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, that's the thing. It was like, and shoulder wise, I never had an issue. But I think that's what we're running into today's game is you're seeing all these throwing heavy balls and lighter balls. Like I don't have a problem with the kids throwing the lighter balls. I mean, I used to chuck a tennis ball. That's how I worked on my arm speed, was throwing a tennis ball. But now kids are throwing these heavy balls, but they're using it to build arm speed and throw harder, when really it needs to be used in a way to, like, as a recovery method, not to sit here and max out and throw the ball as hard as you fucking can. Like, I think it's so dumb. And that's why you're starting to see a rise of like Tommy John and shoulder injuries and all this stuff. It's just like, yeah, I don't know, but yeah.
Yeah. My shoulders, my arms a little sore today. And yeah. You saw me pitch and it's pathetic.
Wiffle ball pitching's tough.
Dude, it's tough. And
trying to control that thing, never know which fucking way it's going to go.
There's some dudes that I was with there yesterday that can fucking just make that thing just go, you know, like, fucking nuts.
Yeah.
You know, and the fucked up, you know, like I said, our rule set is you had to, you 3 players per team and everybody had to pitch at least 1 inning. But if you gave up 3 runs, someone could come and relieve you. So, I mean, our strategy with me was like, all right, well, you know, like, well, actually, we figured out the strategy eventually. I needed to pitch our 2nd inning. We needed to get a good lead in the first because all 3 of us could hit. And then, you know, whenever I pitched, if I could, you know, only give up a couple runs, or if I gave up 3, then someone came in and relieved me. But it was just it's a lot, but it was so fun. Yeah.
I'm sure.
It's a blast, man. We had a good time. So next year you definitely got to come.
Yeah,
you'd love it.
Let me know.
The blast.
I'm always up for some
drinking keg beer all day and you know, grilling, and you know, just my buddy's backyard. He had 2 fields set up. Okay. It was cool.
Did you guys get the keg stands going?
I was about to ask.
No. And well, my buddy, he set up this like legit like tap system. They like took an old door, drilled holes in it, and like had these CO2 tubes coming up.
Really?
And like had like actual draft handles. It was awesome. Like legit. Well, the one buddy, he was a chemical engineer, I think is what he is. And he worked at Anheuser-Busch for a long time. I think he works somewhere else now, but he like knows, you know, how to do all that stuff. I don't know, you know, like, we're like, you know, let him do it. But yeah, it was a lot of fun. We had a good time yesterday, and yeah, you definitely got to come. You guys would love it.
Yeah. Anything else about the book that you kind of?
No, not really. Okay. You know, I definitely enjoyed it. I recommend it to anybody that, you know, is wanting to do 75 hard or do any of the live hard program, you know, do the live hard program, I think that would benefit your life significantly. I think doing it will make you mentally tougher. I mean, here's the thing, if you're going
to
do it,
you have to do it.
You have to do it all the way. You can't, I hate when I hear people talking about like doing 75 medium or what do they call it? 75 soft easy or
there's an app. Actually, Jake Arbold's wife, Tina, who helped me set up my LLC. Shout out to you, Tina.
Tina's awesome.
Tina's great. Dude, she posted that there was an ad, like a habit tracker, and it was called like the 75 Simple Challenge. And it was like all the same things, but just like watered down.
And like 30 minute workout, you know, a half gallon of water, you know.
Like, here's the thing, guys, as the resident dude who worked for Andy in the room, and I've done the 75 day portion like fucking a half a dozen times, so I'm credible. If you try to fucking change it, it's not going to be the thing. If you're doing it to be trendy, or if you're doing it to fit in, or if you're doing it to just say you did it, or fucking pretending to do it. I hate saying it, but like, dude, Andy says this on the show all the time. You're going to feel worse and you're going to become worse because you keep trying to go around the thing that is the problem. The problem is fucking you. Okay? Like, I worked for the dude and I did it in front of him. I had no choice but to be like diligent and to the letter. Right. But it wasn't because like I would get in trouble or yelled at. It's because I would be a fraud.
Mm-hmm.
So don't be fraudulent. You're going to do the fucking program. Do the. I sound like him right now.
It's true. Do it.
I spent a lot of time around this man.
Yeah. You know,
it means 2 45-minute workouts. That doesn't mean, you know, if you're doing, you know, your second workout, and there's many times where I've done it to completion twice. The last time I did it, I think I was on day like 60 something and I ended up failing it. But you know, there was multiple times that we were, you know, for example, like doing my outdoor workout and, you know, which was typically like a, you know, a weight vest walk kind of around my neighborhood for my outdoor workout. That was most of my workouts most of the time. And, you know, maybe I'd be, you know, I'd set a timer 45 minutes, boom, on my phone, right when I walked out my house. Or right when I left the driveway, and then, you know, that started my workout. And then there was multiple times where I'm walking up the street to the house. Well, we got to, you know, oh, shit, we're at 40 minutes. All right, I got to do, you know, some. I got to, you know, walk the next street down, or I got to make this a 45-minute workout. Could I just walk right to my house and call it and be done at 40 minutes instead of 45? Yeah, I could, but that doesn't fucking count then.
What about this? Fucking, like, here's the next level of, like, how much attention to detail you should be practicing. And I'm not, like, saying mine's better. I'm saying, like, this is where I fucked up. There was one, I'll set a timer for 45 minutes when I do my walks. Like, I can't trust the distance I'm going to go anymore is going to be that because I move fast when I walk. Like, I hustle. And fucking, I got in, and, like, 30 seconds after I, like, close the door, my alarm goes off. I have to do it over.
Yeah.
It's not, oh, well, I gave my best shot. Well, that's fine if this is the giving it your best shot contest, but like, that's not why you do this fucking thing.
Yeah.
It's not why Andy gives it away for free. Like, come on, dude, just fucking do the thing.
Do the thing. Do it. Do it as it's instructed. There's, you know, there's clear cut rules to this.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you know, you're not supposed to, you know, I know a lot of people would do this. I've heard of that, you know, they'll do that. You know, they'll go work out in the gym for 45 minutes and then they'll just go straight outside and hit their outdoor. No, there's supposed to be a 3-hour
window,
you know, 3-hour window there, you know, like you're not supposed to do them back to back. And just because, you know, I know that would be easier, you know, but that's not the point.
Right.
You gotta go through and do the thing as it's instructed. There's clear set of instructions on how to do it. So if you're going to do it, just fucking do it right. Don't make it easy. And because, you know, you're only cheating yourself. Yeah. So,
yeah. So for anybody who hasn't read 75 Hard, this is the new 75 Hard book, just because it's not going to be printed anymore. But yeah, and for anybody that hasn't been paying attention to Andy since he started and listened to all of his stuff, this is a great book for you. It does. It gives you a basically a playbook to build mental toughness. And you know, it gives examples, and it's a good book for that. For people that have been following along, you've probably already heard everything that's already.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think that's a good spot to, you know, end it for the day. And yeah, guys, shout out to our friends at NeuroGum. Shout out to our friends at Fit Flavors. Use promo code podcast50 to get a 50% off gift card through the end of May. And we will see you guys next time with a guest episode.